Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080. The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Blazers post-mortem today, just for a day. We'll be back tomorrow with some more stuff. We're going to get into the NFL draft this week.
It's on Thursday, and already things getting a little hairy. Julio Jones making an appearance in some of the rumors.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I guess.
Why?
Well, supposedly that things aren't going well with him in Atlanta and that he was on the block. And now, of course, the infamous, he's taken down his Twitter account. He's made it private and has scrubbed all references to the Falcons.
Yeah, so, everything on his social media that referenced the Falcons, it's gone.
Whoa.
So a lot of people think that he's been given the word that a draft day trade involving Mr. Jones could be happening.
Ooh, I'd trade him. He's 29.
He's getting old.
Getting old.
Isn't it amazing in the NFL, like at 29, we're like,
he's over the hill.
You're done. I got to look at his contract and see how many years he has left.
He truly is awesome.
Because he makes a lot of money.
I know he does, but he's awesome. But it's like, you wonder why teams don't do that more often. And it's so hard to do because these guys are so good. But when you see, that they're just, creeping towards the time when they're going to start going downhill,
mm-hmm.
trade them.
And so his cap hit, he's got 3 years left on this deal.
Takes balls, but trade him because you're going to get stuck with him otherwise.
He's got 13 million, 15 million, and 12 million against the cap the next 3 years. It's expensive. So if you feel at all that there's a deterioration there and that that he's not going to be the same player, absolutely, if you're Atlanta, do you consider moving on from him? And if you're a team that's in that market and you think you can win and you can win right now, he can be a difference maker, then this may make sense for someone.
Question really is.
You know, Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant was making more money than Julio Jones at a worse cap hit.
That's crazy because he's not near the player.
No, nowhere near.
So therefore, Jason, we need to bifurcate the two. Right?
Well played.
Did I use that correctly?
Well played indeed. What? I don't know if you did or not.
I think I did.
I'm still confused at the word.
I think that was right.
Why would you do that to us?
Okay, so anyway, we're going to get some NFL draft stuff beginning tomorrow. The odds are out on who will be picked where and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. All that crazy crap.
Will the Cleveland Browns pick two quarterbacks? I hope so.
You know what else I heard? So Thursday is round one of the draft, and we're going to be out at Ladd Tap House for our annual NFL draft party. Always a good time, so come on by. And you can show up and get on the wait list to be a GM, and you might, if we have some no-shows,
yeah,
you might get in there.
Or
you could win a 65-inch TV.
Or just come hang out with us and drink.
Do you want to know something? I heard through the grapevine
mm-hmm.
that Ladd Tap House is a Browns bar.
Really? I didn't know we had a Browns bar.
Oh, it is for sure a Browns bar.
How about that?
I've been there during NFL Sunday, and it was filled with Browns fans.
The Browns, the dog pound going to be in the house.
How does one become a Browns bar or a Packers bar? How does that occur?
Well, I think what happens is they have, here's how I feel like it occurs.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happens is those fans have a club or an email list, and there's somebody heads it up, and he or she goes to the bar, and if they're open to hosting them, and like maybe even offering some discounts or like they take care of them or whatever, then they'll go there.
And that becomes...
And then they email, say, hey. And then the bar's cool about it because they're like, well, he's going to bring in 50 people.
Put up a flag and away you go.
Yeah, right. Like
I know the Wooden Chicken. That's a Niners bar.
Used to be. I don't know if it still is.
The Corbett Fish House, that's a Packer place.
Sort of.
Cheerful Tortoise is a Bills bar, I think.
The Cheerful Tortoise is still around?
The one that's right near Providence Park. I might have the name slightly wrong, but it's the one right near Providence Park. It's a Bills bar.
A Bills bar. What's crazier? We have a Browns bar or a Bills bar?
Browns.
See, I think kind of Bills. The Browns have been around a long time.
So are the Bills, and the Bills have actually been good and relevant.
The Browns used to be great.
The Bills
the Cheerful Bullpen.
Way back in
the day. Excuse me.
The Cheerful Bullpen is
I believe that's the name of the bar.
That's the Bills bar. Yeah.
So anyway, join us, won't you? Ladd Tap House, Thursday, live broadcast, and then the NFL draft.
Come on by.
Aren't we going to play the draft on the air? Or no?
I think I'll go to you for the picks.
Yeah, we'll go
to
the picks.
I'll have a sound effect like we normally do.
And then maybe after we're off the air.
Is that how we always do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is how we do it.
You better bring your A game.
See what I can do.
Because I know nothing.
Pouring over my draft sheets right now. You want the top 10?
No, I don't.
Hot offensive guard talk?
No, thank you.
The best player in the draft
Rob's waiting for Thursday for a reason, Suke.
Yeah.
The best player in the draft is an offensive guard.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that, you know who I think the best player in the draft is?
What?
Minka Fitzpatrick.
He's pretty damn good.
He's awesome.
Well, most lists have him as a top five.
See? I'm not crazy.
No, you're not.
But the NFL draft lead up can be a little nauseating. You've got
it.
Yes,
it can.
It is just.
It's unbelievable. The blowhards that try to pretend that they have a firm grasp on what every team is doing. It's an educated guess at best.
All right. Well, if you're just tuning in hour one, we went through post Blazers playoff loss audio of Neil Olshey, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. It took us a while. It took us about an hour or so.
Yeah, we had to dig through that.
If you want to go back and listen to any of that, you can podcast our show at 1080thefan.com. We do have a couple of other Blazer-related items to get to this hour. One, murmurs about Terry Stotts' job status. Mm-hmm. We'll tell you the latest on that. And we're going to get to the Jason Quick, CJ McCollum flat.
The lions versus sheep.
If you didn't see this. That happened on social media. Now, coming up in the club... I have a question. Bad luck, or is there something about a person that brings on multiple sort of incidents?
I understand where you're coming off of this.
Yeah.
And I feel like we need to discuss the royal baby.
Is there one?
Yeah.
Which one? Wait, what?
There's a...
Who's having... Which one?
What is
Merkel
that?
Is...
No,
pregnant?
Kate and...
Kate and William.
Yeah. They're having another one?
They already had.
They already had.
Oh, a third one?
Yes.
This number three.
Okay. What about him?
Well, did you see the campouts?
Huge Wang.
We need to discuss. It's not so much the royal baby. I need to talk about the reaction to the royal baby. 15 days.
Okay.
People waited outside of a hospital waiting for the royal baby.
All right.
15 days. Who are these people?
You are aware. Have you read the stories about what's going to happen when the queen dies?
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
It's not just a whole thing.
I don't understand.
Okay. Well, that will be later. That will be in our club hour. But right now, let's get you the hot news of the day. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Download the reward app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences, game tickets, and rewards.
Something wrong.
Number five.
Okay, let's take a look at... Major League Baseball. You want to get updated on what's going on the diamond?
Let's.
You know who the best team in baseball is?
Well, it would be the Boston Red Sox.
17-4.
Now,
they've lost two in a row. One run in both those games and got no hit. Ah.
They did get
by the A's.
Yeah, Sean Manaea, no hitter. Second best so far is the New York Mets.
Yes.
No, wait, sorry. The Diamondbacks are 15-6.
Oh, I thought the Mets were number two.
Mets are 14-6. Yeah.
They moved Matt Harvey to the bullpen, by the way.
Cespedes cannot hit to save his life.
Yeah, Harvey's done.
And the Mariners are taking on the White Sox in Chicago. They are playing tonight. Mariners are, what's their record?
They are 11-9.
All right.
3.5 back of Houston.
Could be worse.
That's a tough division because Houston's legit, and the Angels look to be really good, too.
And nobody can hit the A's.
The A's are 500.
Yankees are up 4-0 on the Twins in the third. Braves have a 2-0 lead on the Reds early. Indians 2-1 over the O's. Mariners-White Sox matchup is going to be Mike Leake against Carson Fulmer in Chicago. Okay. Alvin Gentry gets an extension after the Pelicans sweep the Blazers. Alvin Gentry, the coach of New Orleans, he is now guaranteed through 2019. Previously, he was just 64-100 with the Pelicans, but this season, even after Boogie Cousins went down, New Orleans ended up winning 48 games. And, of course, the coming-out party in the playoffs with the sweep of the Blazers.
I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he brought this up. You know, it's like they took a while to figure out how to play with Cousins and Davis on the same line. And once they started figuring it out, then he got hurt, and then they had to figure out how to play without Cousins, and then Mirotić coming in. And, you know, once they kind of put that together, that's a hell of a job by New Orleans. You know, it's you know, for all the talk of, you know, well, woe is me, Portland, give New Orleans some credit for figuring that thing out and playing a hell of a series.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'll do that next. The Ducks get a graduate transfer tight end. This is a kid from South Florida. His name's Kano Dillon. He was at the spring game and committed to Oregon. He's a big boy, 6'5", 262. Only other known commodity at tight end for the Ducks is Jacob Breland. Now, the spring game brought in a bunch of recruits, and they actually landed three or four different guys. And now Andrew Nemec, the Fan's recruiting insider of the Oregonian, is reporting that the number three corner in the nation is expected to choose Oregon. His name is Jeffrey Carter, and he says he will announce in 2 days. But the pundits are saying that it looks like he's going to choose Oregon. He has offers from Alabama, Arizona State, Baylor, Georgia, Nebraska, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Penn State, Texas.
Yeah, Nemec was on with Dirt and Sprague, and he was saying that this is kind of similar to the hype that they had when Willie Taggart was here. You know, the whole top 10 class, I know that fell apart, but he goes, some of these guys, they're landing. You know, he thinks they've got a chance to add a couple more and maybe put together that top 10 class.
Number two.
Niners GM John Lynch says if charges facing Reuben Foster, their star linebacker, turn out to be true, he will be cut. Foster faces three felonies, including one for domestic violence. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Yeah, a lot of big talk about whether or not we'll cut the guy. And by the way, whether or not they turn out to be true, so the gal ruptured her own eardrum? She drug herself out into the street? Come on. That's semantics at this point.
I think they're saying if he's guilty, and you know.
Exactly. So if he pleads down and right. He gets her to drop the charges, right.
They're saving their
and they can get this to go away, then they can find a way to keep their uber-talented linebacker. This is a Bush League move. You know he did it, and if that really is the case that you don't want him on your team, then have the courage to cut him. Don't try to look for some weaselly way out of this.
Raiders have signed ex-Panthers cornerback Daryl Worley. They don't mind that he was just arrested.
No.
Who cares about that?
How about second chances?
He goes to Oakland. And Seahawks coach Pete Carroll said today that there is possibly a place for Colin Kaepernick on the Seahawks roster.
They don't care he was arrested, but they care if someone's kneeling.
Yes. Arrests we can deal with. Kneel, no. I also saw that Cam Chancellor is undergoing further tests to his neck. And so we'll kind of see how that plays out. But I read a thing today that he's still trying to find a way back.
Now, do I need to bifurcate tonight's playoff scoreboards between the NHL and the NBA?
Yeah, you can't combine those two.
No, they
That'd
must
be really
be,
confusing.
They must be bifurcated. They must be. We need some two-pronged bifurcation right now.
Yes, we do.
Let's start with the NHL. Bruins lead the Leafs in the second period. Early in the second period, one. Am I supposed to say nil?
No, I think it's just 1-0.
1-0.
Only no. Soccer you say nil.
Okay. And the Capitals lead the Blue Jackets 1-0.
And they're up 3-2 in that series.
End of the first.
They've made a nice comeback. Remember, they were trailing 2-0 in that.
And the Bruins are up 3-2 on the Leafs in that series. And I predicted that. I got to tell you, my predictions in the NHL are going great.
You've been spot on.
The NBA.
I don't think you ever picked your second Stanley Cup team, though.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on it.
You picked Winnipeg and no one else.
Rockets and Timberwolves in the NBA. That one's Houston leading 2-1. T-Wolves went off in game three to
yeah,
kind of get
got
back
good.
In that series. And then the Thunder and Jazz are later. Utah leading that series 2-1. That's a really wild one. We'll have more time for other NBA playoff talk tomorrow, but how about Westbrook not shooting? Like, how about Donovan Mitchell outscoring Russell Westbrook in the fourth quarter, 23-2?
What?
It's really weird.
I know.
And I like that series, though. It's a fun series.
Well, and the really disappointing part if you're a Blazer fan is you're the only sweep in the entire playoffs.
Everyone else is still playing.
Everyone else at least has a game, and you bowed out. If you would have told me at the start that there was going to be one team in the playoffs that was going to get swept, I would have bet everything I own that it's not the Portland Trail Blazers.
Okay, so if you're just tuning in and you wanted a little taste of what Neil Olshey had to say, we will play a clip for you. You'll get a taste of that. And then CJ McCollum is mad at Jason Quick.
Yes.
He's mad.
We'll see how long this lasts.
And then also murmurs about the job status of Terry Stotts. We'll tell you what some folks are saying. So it's 516 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, that's right. That's the show you've got here. That is a blustery but beautiful Northwest day.
It does seem a little windy out there.
It is windy out there. So
there's some chop out there in the lovely poop-filled Willamette.
Let's get an Olshey clip in for you guys who haven't heard any of his stuff. And I'm specifically playing this one because this is where he talks about bifurcation
right from the get-go, which means he had that thing holstered. He knew he was dropping the vocab right there.
I think he went
right
online for the word, or do you think he has a dictionary he opened up and just kind of randomly pointed and found, hey, I'm going to use this word tomorrow.
I like to think he was playing Words with Friends and that one popped up.
See, I feel like it's one of those deals where, because Steve Patterson used to do this all the time too.
Yeah.
They would holster big words, and I think it's like straight out of PR 101. Like it's like to make yourself appear smart. And they look for words that will make them appear smart.
It's like when you sit up on the big chair, like the Mark Zuckerberg, you sit on the booster seat because you want to appear higher.
So here is Neil Olshey saying, look.
Saying bifurcate is what he's saying.
He's saying, bro, I'm not going to overreact.
No.
It doesn't change anything about the season. I think we've got to bifurcate those two things to a certain degree. You know, we lost four games coming in to the playoffs, and that didn't change everyone's overall outlook on a macro level. I think the playoffs brought a couple of issues to bear in terms of, you know, teams that can go small. I think those are some things we need to address. But, you know, playoff series are always going to illustrate, deficiencies, right? That's what coaches do. They get to play you four different times. They find your weaknesses. And, you know, we will address those in the offseason. Regardless whether we got swept, we lost 4-3, we get into the second round, nothing's going to go unexamined in the organization. It's just a matter of, I think this one was so extreme, I don't want to overreact to one unfavorable matchup and a team that just played outstanding basketball. You just can't do that, Joe. You just can't react to, well, now we have to overreact to when we play this style of basketball. So, look, we're going to do everything we can to upgrade the roster like we always do. But we're also not going to lose sight of the success we had throughout the course of the season and the growth that we had.
Ah, yes, growth. That was directed to Joe Freeman, not Jace.
No.
Jace Quick.
Jace wasn't there. He was still making his way back from New Orleans because the exit interviews happened Sunday at 10 in the morning.
Right. Okay, Neil Olshey is upset with you not giving this part of the narrative more credit.
One of the things I think I'm disappointed with from a narrative standpoint from this whole year that nobody picked up on was this. How important the quality of your players and building a team is to winning and losing basketball games. Everybody wants to look in a vacuum at specific players. This player, this player, this player, his numbers, his numbers, his numbers. And what nobody looked at was the chemistry, the camaraderie, the teamwork, the way this group stayed together. We'd lose three or four in a row. They never fractured. It frustrated guys in the media because you'd ask Dame or you'd ask CJ, they said, we're fine. We're fine. And nobody wanted to believe that we were fine. And yet somehow we ended up with 49 wins and we're the third seed in the Western Conference. We were fine. They believed it. They're the ones that have to believe, and they believe in each other, and they elevate each other.
So again,
I still don't know what that has to do with losing
well,
to New Orleans.
Well, it doesn't. It's just it's like the straw man argument.
It's a
like,
shiny, shimmering screen to distract
you. Yeah, here, look at this. It's the straight out of the Trump playbook. Yeah. He does this all the time. But, you know, look, that fine chemistry and camaraderie that you have has gotten you 10 straight playoff losses. And I think people are fed up with it. That's the issue that he needs to address, but he won't. One more on Olshay, and then we'll tell you why C.J. McCollum's mad at Jace. This one, I think he's talking about sweeping changes. I think he gets a little...
This is the time I think he gets a little fired up here.
Well, because people are throwing questions at him like, hey, is it time to tear it down? Is it time to rethink the CJ trade thing and, you know, all this crap?
And he's not listening to that. If you talk to anyone that's close to GMs in the NBA, you will not find a GM that thinks more highly of his two guys than he does of Lillard and McCollum. It's not going to happen.
Bro.
Well, you know, last year was going to take sweeping changes because we got swept by Golden State in the first round and all the alarmists overreacted. And then Golden State went on to sweep Utah and sweep San Antonio and basically, you know, win in five without breaking a sweat against Cleveland. And everybody overreacted. So let's be a little bit measured in our reaction to the fact that we ended up against a tough matchup with the best two-way player in the NBA having a career series. Drew is healthy and he played phenomenal basketball. It happens. But again, this idea of, you know, sweeping, where were all these people that wanted sweeping changes 10 days ago? Where were they? They were the ones, you know, bouncing off the walls in the Moda Center when we had the third seed for the first time since 1999-2000. So it's our job, Joe, to be measured and not overreact, because when you overreact is when you make mistakes. Nobody thinks this roster is a finished product. Everybody understands it is a work in progress, but it's a work in progress. But, you know, relative to people that back in December were complaining we weren't even going to make the playoffs and we were in purgatory because we weren't going to make the playoffs and we weren't going to pick high enough, and right, that was the rallying cry. Then it was, oh my God, well, they're going to blow the third seed because they're going to lose all these games down there. They're not even going to get home court advantage. They overreacted to that. And you know what? If the series goes 6 or 7, if game one goes differently when we have the ball down one, like, who knows where the series goes? But it didn't. But again, you don't take 4 games and overreact and diminish what you accomplished over 82 games. The foundation is built during the regular season. There are always extraneous factors that go into a playoff series. And look, we're the first ones out, so this will be heightened, and there'll be an over amount of attention paid to this series until other teams start going out, and then they'll all need sweeping changes.
Okay, so that's a little taste of what Neil Olshay had to say.
I didn't necessarily follow his line of logic there. I was always confused, too, that he and CJ and a couple of others, they kept going back to the Golden State thing. Like, why does getting swept by Golden State last year matter? So basically you're saying that it didn't matter that you lost to Golden State because Golden State was really good.
They're
and so,
trying to dampen the 10 straight playoff losses stat that's out there by saying, well, it was to the Warriors.
And then all of a sudden New Orleans is like this unfavorable matchup. And what? Where did that come from? I just, you can't. And then to say that the 4 games don't matter, you can't overreact to 4 games. Well, can I overreact to the 4 games was the difference between you being the 3 seed and not making the playoffs? That was... I understand some of the points he's trying to make about not overreacting. And that part, I do agree. You can't just go off half-cocked and say, you got to make change for the sake of change. But, man, some of his logic, you can't have it both ways. You really can't. And ultimately, what you do in the regular season doesn't matter. It is what you do in the postseason. Those 4 games in the postseason and the way it went down are a hell of a lot more important than what happened during the regular season.
But it's not change for the sake of change. It's change for the sake of actually being better than average.
Yes.
For once.
What I'm trying to say is you don't take a playoff loss if you think you have a team that is a real contender. You don't say, well, we lost, and so you blow it up. But yes, to your point, this team isn't good enough. We knew it all along. Minus the 13-game win streak, this team wasn't good enough. Damian Lillard knew it wasn't good enough when he went into the owner and had that private meeting. So that's my thing, is don't try to sell me that somehow what happened in the regular season dismisses what happened in the postseason because this team is close, because what happened in the postseason is you got exposed. You are nowhere near where you need to be.
Well, he's obviously very sensitive and very defensive, but he's always been like that. He's very much like Trump in that way. Yeah. He just is. And
I think it insults the intelligence of the fans.
Well, I think that's his biggest problem, is that it's not that hard to get people to give you the benefit of the doubt, but he makes it hard because he's very condescending, and he sort of he sort of tells fans, that fans that are really invested in this, he tells them that their opinion doesn't matter and he doesn't feel what they feel. And it's like, dude, it's not hard. How about just get up there and take some accountability for once,
yeah,
and say this is not good enough and we're going to be better. It's not that hard to
Miller
say
took
the right
accountability
thing.
In his interview.
It's just not that hard. Yeah. And you're pissing off a lot of people who pay good money to watch you because they know it's BS and they're tired of hearing it. They're tired of hearing the spin. Just relate. Just how about some real talk? Yeah. How about a little honesty? But he just makes you feel like you can't possibly think that anything's wrong.
Yeah.
You can't think that. Why? Because I'm smarter than you. And I know I'm the GM. You're not. Like, that's how he comes across. And that crap, man, people are really tired of that here.
Absolutely.
And he needs to start to understand that, although he's not going to change. He's the same. He's the same as he's always been. So that's a little taste of Neil Olshay. Coming up next, a couple of things. Mark Stein of Mark Stein fame.
Oh, yeah.
He is talking about some murmurs regarding Terry Stotts' job status and why CJ McCollum and Jason Quick are not going to be dining together tonight.
No.
Or maybe they will. I don't know. Maybe,
maybe they buried the hatchet.
Hash it out at Yard House or something.
Well, CJ, what...
Over a beer.
Chris Haynes, that was the Gaucho, I believe, was his spot.
Oh, no. They got to go to Laurelhurst Market.
Oh, there you go.
Come on, Jason.
Number one steakhouse in Portland.
You damn right it is.
There you go.
So that those items will be coming up next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Oh, no! We suck again!
You know, I've never wanted Major League Baseball to Portland more.
Give you a little palate cleanser.
Well, one, I love baseball.
Yeah.
Two, I think it would be great to live in a Major League city again. And three, it would create competition for the arrogant-ass Blazers, you know? Like, they're so arrogant. The way they treat their fans, the way they talk to their fans, and we hear from the fans that they're pissed, a lot of them. And others just eat it up. They love it. They don't care that
does seem to be some discord there, and
but they can because they're it's like it's a one horse town, you know. It's like I just, you know, you talk to people in markets with multiple major league sports, and there is no question they create competition for the other, and it makes everybody be better. And you got to, you know, you can't get away with that arrogant crap when the Major League Baseball team, by the way, which would be playing this time of year,
yeah.
You know, 75 degrees out there right now would be filling up their ballpark and treating people the right way. Cheaper ticket. F you, Blazers.
There is an element to that. I know they get real sensitive about even the Timbers, you know, coming
damn
in.
Damn right they do.
Yeah, because of one, and it's a small market, so there's only so many dollars to go around. And, yeah, the Blazers have had a monopoly on this, you know, since the Portland Lumberjacks left, really, when you think about it. The Major League Lacrosse team that we had, or maybe the Forest Dragons. But, yeah, there is an element of that where the Blazers – certainly can.
They just think they're so great.
There is some of that, but we've seen it in years past that, you know, this thing can turn ugly, but as long as you're putting wins out there on the floor, you know, it kind of, I don't know, it emboldens you. And Portland was the 3 seed. And so you wonder how many people really are going to be annoyed by this, or how many people are going to, you know, come next season are going to be right back on board because the team had such a good regular season. It'll be interesting to see what people vote for when it comes to their dollars and cents.
Okay, here's the CJ Dame thing. Or, I mean, Dame. My boy, Damian Lillard.
Again, you play on a softball team with him.
CJ, Jason Quick thing. So Jason Quick, during the game, after that
hard foul
by CJ McCollum,
yeah,
he tweeted, frustration foul by CJ, who has always bordered on cheap and dirty. Well, he deleted that.
Yeah.
And then he wrote, an earlier tweet regarding CJ McCollum's flagrant foul has been deleted. I used a poor choice of words. CJ has always been a spirited and tenacious player. Tonight was no exception.
And I guess he doubled down on it. I haven't seen the tweet, and it was deleted, but I guess CJ's brother responded to Quick, and Quick, you know, kind of said, well, you know what I'm talking about. And obviously that made it back to CJ, and it rubbed him the wrong way.
So here's what CJ wrote on the tweets. He says, a lion doesn't concern itself with the opinion of sheep.
But you kind of do, because you're responding to this.
Exactly. But here's my concern.
Yeah.
A lion A lion doesn't concern itself with the opinion of sheep. But here's my concern.
That's the magic of every athlete does this in coach and GM. Oh, I don't pay any attention, and yet they hear every single thing that's said about
them. They're super sensey.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant just won the title, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's worth however many hundreds of millions.
Yeah. MVP.
Whatever. MVP. Like, and he's liking tweets that bash Russell Westbrook. You know, it's like, what are you doing, dude?
He said that was a mistake, but...
Well, okay, but still...
Oh, I'm sure it was, KD.
It was.
Well, he owns multiple Twitter accounts and responds to his own tweets.
Yeah, Kevin Durant's the one that got called out. He had the fake Twitter account and was trolling people on there.
So he says, a lion doesn't concern itself with the opinion of sheep. However, don't disrespect my character. You said what you said and you meant it. Have that same energy next time you want to write a story or get a quote from the one who has, quote, always bordered cheap and dirty, end quote.
Yeah. That's the, you need me more than I need you, F you. And, but I get at the same time, I get why he's upset. That, when I saw that in real time, I was just kind of scrolling through the Twitter feed. And when I saw that, and I really like Jason, Quick's one of my favorite media guys that, you know, I've known for 15 years. I kind of did one of these. Like when I read that, I kind of went, like that is, It's a bold move to throw that out there, and maybe it was a poor choice of words. Maybe he feels bad about it now. I don't know if that apology is because he kind of felt like he had to, or if he really felt like he stepped over a line. But I'm telling you, there's something about this series where people were, you know, even writers were getting really fired up. I mean, this was an emotional time, but I'm surprised that those words were used to describe CJ, who, to be honest with you, I've never once thought, and I know Quick covers him a lot more than I do and watches more games. I just, those words never have crossed my mind when it comes to CJ McCollum.
Well, it made me think that maybe there was something going on that he's seen more off the court than he was thinking of to then say cheap and dirty. Because I'm with you, Sug. When I saw that, I was like, really? I don't see that in CJ's game, which made me think, well, maybe something behind the scenes led to this tweet.
And it wasn't. And it wasn't a dirty play. I mean,
it was a hard foul to stop a layup.
Yeah, but no one, no blood. No one went into the third row or anything. I didn't even think much about it. In fact, when that kind of got tweeted out, I had to go back and like look for the highlight of the play and be like, oh, that was a bit much.
Well, he did delete it.
Yeah,
I mean, that obviously tells you he was like, well, that's not
done that.
What I should have said, or maybe not what I meant, or this or that. I don't know. I just wonder. CJ's kind of got, he's kind of got this aloof arrogance about him too. And I wonder if that hasn't played a role in how maybe Jason views him. Because if you don't think that personal relationships factor into how these guys are covered, then, I mean, you're expecting robots to do this job.
Yeah.
I mean, there's human beings. And I think that there is an element of CJ can be one of the tougher guys to cover on the team.
Sure.
And maybe that's why he said that, or maybe, I mean, I don't know. I haven't talked to him, but Jason, I mean, I'm just speculating because I too hadn't heard, I'd never really had that thought about CJ either.
But I'll say this about Quick, and look, maybe this is just me defending him because I like Jason. I think he does a hell of a job. I do think that was probably over the line. And like I said, I felt uncomfortable at the moment I read it and thought, there's going to be some blowback on that. And there probably should have been. I mean, when you throw that out, you're talking about someone's character. You know, that's
true. But I also think it's a lot of times these guys, you got just move on.
Yeah.
CJ, I mean.
Yeah. And this is kind of my point. Quick's been doing this for a long, long time. You will not find many people that are more fair and balanced when it comes to covering a team and will give the players the benefit of the doubt. Quick knows plenty over the years that he could have buried people with, and he does not. Quick is he is very good at his job, and I hope this doesn't. You know, sometimes in today's day and age, you make one mistake, and sometimes that's enough. You can get buried for it. You know, people lose their jobs or they just get ostracized for it. I certainly hope that's not the case here, because while I did find that to probably be over the line, Jason Quick is a pro and doesn't deserve this to be a lasting stain on him.
Well, maybe GM bro got to him.
Bro.
You know, he does monitor the tweets.
Yes.
He watches closely from his fake accounts.
It's fascinating that so many people care that much about, you know, little things like that.
All right. Coming up next, I'll get to this Mark Stein thing about Terry Stotts.
We're getting another DUI out on the water, by the way.
Fantastic. On a Monday, no less.
Yeah. On a Monday, the police are pulling over someone on the Willamette there.
Okay, it is 5:44 on the Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, wrapping up the Blazers season. Mark Stein, who is now, I don't even know who he writes for now, NBA writer with somebody. He tweeted, murmurs 10 straight playoff losses will cost Terry Stotts his job. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think if that happens, I think it's a fall guy thing. You know, Lillard came out in his exit interview and has always gone to bat for Stotts. I think Stotts has done a really nice job with a with what he's been given. So I think if Stotts ends up losing his job, I think that is a sign that there was pressure from the top, that a change had to be made. And, you know, the easiest change to make in any organization is to change the coach. But Damian Lillard is not the problem with this team. Terry Stotts is not the problem with this team.
Stein writes for the New York Times, I guess, now. That's where he is. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
The Stein line. Yeah, he said in the tweet, the murmurs have already started in coaching circles that 10 consecutive playoff defeats will cost Terry Stotts his job in Portland. But league sources say Orlando would register immediate interest in Stotts if he becomes available.
Yeah, if he ends up, you know, gone, he's one of those guys that'll have a job whenever he wants one. Terry Stotts is a good NBA coach.
Do you think that Stotts is looking older? Like, did you see him in that?
I did.
Presser. He's kind of looking a little rougher on the edges lately.
Well, I think he's all right. I think this job is a grind, and he's not. What is he? 60. He's 60 years old.
Yeah, he's 60 now.
Being an NBA coach, it's the same thing. Like, have you ever seen like the before and after is like when you take the presidency. Like they show the president year one and then year four, and then if you get a second term. That job just ages your ass. And I feel like an NBA coach, it's the same sort of thing. I think that is one of the tougher positions in all of sports. And yeah, I think there's some wear and tear on you.
Well, I think he did about, well, I don't know. I would ask you, find me a coach who did more with less.
Yeah, I thought it did a great job this year, keeping this thing
now,
together.
The question is, did the Blazers have a great year? You know, that's really the question.
You can't have a great year when you're the only team in the NBA that gets swept and you're the first three seed, I think, since they've gone to a seven-game first round.
Did they have a good year?
Yes, they had a good year.
See, I don't know, man. I think they had a good win streak because before that win streak, they were frustrating as hell.
Yeah.
And after the win streak, they were frustrating as hell. So I feel like the win streak is the kind of the novelty and they're more like the frustrating team that we saw before the win streak and after the win streak. So I think it was more of a frustrating season than it was a joyous season.
Well, I'll give you that.
I don't think it was a good year.
I'll give you that because you're, what, three or four games difference during that win streak. You know, if I'm not making the playoffs, then no one's saying it's a good year. But to me, I am a results guy, and you won 49 games. Yes, you were a healthy team, and you had the advantage of seemingly playing against everyone that was hurt. You still won 49 games. You still ended up the three seed in the West. I got to give some credit to that and say that was a solid year. But certainly, I understand where you're coming from, that while it was a good year, in some ways it was a very, very frustrating year. Because you're right. Before and after that win streak, it was it was a little hairy. We were going right back to the, oh boy, here we go again.
Did you see I think it was awful announcing, threw this out on Twitter, that they took a screenshot of the ESPN analysts who picked the Pelicans-Blazers series.
Not one.
All 22 of them picked the Blazers.
Yeah. And so that was the part.
All 22.
And that was the part that rubbed, well, I mean, one of many parts that rubbed me the wrong way about the Olshea press conference.
And it was a sweep.
But all of a sudden now we've gotten into this, like this was like an unfair, he even said it, it's an unfavorable matchup. Stop. This is the matchup that everyone said you wanted. Of all the teams in the West, this is the one that you wanted. So don't give me that.
Well, pretty much everyone's an unfavorable matchup when you only have one good player.
There's no excuse for being swept out of the playoffs when you're the three seed with home court advantage, zero.
Well, that ought to put a bow on the Trailblazers season, 2018.
Yep.
That's it.
Now, unfortunately, we get to sit back and watch the rest of the NBA play. Although, I guess, fortunately, it's been a very entertaining first round of the playoffs. Minus the Blazers.
Yeah, I've been enjoying watching the playoffs, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, you know, Milwaukee has made that a fun series. Minnesota gave Houston, you know, all they could handle in, well, you know, beat them handedly in game three. And now we got it on the big screen up here, but Minnesota is going back and forth them, trying to make that a series. Utah, Oklahoma City has been entertaining. There's been some good games.
So here are some upcoming dates, because the offseason is upon us. May 15th is the NBA draft lottery, if you care about that. That will be right around when the conference finals begin. Hopefully, it looks like it's Houston, Golden State, which will be exciting.
Blazers obviously not involved in that.
They're definitely not in the conference finals. You are correct.
The lottery.
The lottery.
NBA finals start May 31st. The draft, the NBA draft, which Paul Allen loves, is June 21st.
What is Portland? 20? What are they picking?
Well, they'd be, I don't know. Is that a good answer?
24th or 25th?
You need to bifurcate this.
Yeah, I think they're 24th or 25th.
Somewhere in there. Yeah, it's not going to be a great
year. Yeah.
But you know how they always sell you this, too. They got a big hard sell coming. Hey, Paul Allen loves the draft. He's willing to wheel and deal.
Yeah, they got
him. You'll get that one.
They got him here at 24th.
All right.
Picking, by the way, just, you know, for random sake, they have them selecting Dazana Musa from Bosnia.
Oh, yes. That's what I was hoping for.
Small forward. Yes.
Him and Nurk can be best buds.
There you go.
Small forward that'll be ready in how many years? 4 years?
We'll look and see how old he is.
All right. Coming up next, it is time for Club 1080.
Boy, that went fast. That kind of snuck up on me.
5:56 on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.